Wisconsin Conversation, real information. Live from Lake Wissota, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the State of Wisconsin Sense from our Lake Wissota studio on this Friday, October 7th, 32 days until Election Day. Pat Kreitlow here along with Luke Mathers. Still to come, Courier Newsroom political editorial director Carolyn Fiddler and the editor of the Copper Courier in Arizona, Cam Stevenson, talking about the stakes of the governor and Senate races in that state. If you'd like to reach the show, radio at upnorthnewswi.com or call us at 715-388-7155. When is the Curderburger come out from Culver's, by the way? Wednesday. You were asking me about that, and I don't follow it. So when's it supposed to come out?
Wednesday, October 12th, and it's back for a limited time only. So not just the one day only. I believe they're going to have – it's expected for maybe a couple weeks, but it's not going to be a long time. It's not coming to the Culver's menu permanently.
So this is their McRib, basically.
Yeah, that's a good comparison because they did it one day, and – I don't know if you saw any of the Culver's lines the day that they did it because
started
as a tweet. Like they on April Fool's Day they put
out a
giant cheese curd burger, but it was nothing but a cheese curd dressed up as a burger, and it got momentum, it became a thing, and the curd burger was released last fall, I believe. I can't remember the exact day. Everything is all blend together now.
Yeah, I should have looked it up because we actually did at Up North News. We had two of our reporters go get it and do a video of themselves taste testing it. So they sat through the longest drive-through line and eventually got it. And then they had to go drive somewhere, you know, either in the parking lot or nearby. And that was their one critique as they opened it up and ate it, was that they should have eaten it right away while it was fresh and hot. They didn't dislike it. They just said it's better if you have it right away. And you agreed.
Yeah, that was pretty much my exact critique of it. As you do with most fast food, you feel a little bogged down after
shame.
It as well. not shame, but like you're kind of like, wait, I had this for lunch, and now I have to go through the rest of my second half of my work day.
It's the Jim Gaffigan line after a hot pocket. Did I eat it or did I wear it? You know, you can just feel it on your face. You know,
yeah. And it wasn't bad. Like I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. I wish the curd was a little warmer when I did eat it because I had that same experience. I wish I would have just sat down in the restaurant right then. But Culver's was chaos. It was pandemonium at the Culver's locations everywhere. They're like, there were people online selling curd burgers for like an upcharge of somewhere. I think one went for like $50. And this is a normal burger that you pay, I don't know, it was $6-7 on the Culver's menu. If you wanted the meal, you paid a little over 10. And people were selling these cold curd burgers at an upcharge online. And so it was pretty chaotic. And I think it's going to be an interesting, I think Culver's is going to see a huge success off of this.
It'll be chaos again, at least on the Wednesday, even if it's lasts longer. The first day is going to be what it is. It's going to be crazy.
I'm going to have to plan an alternate route home because in downtown Sun Prairie, the Culver's is like, I have to pass the Culver's to get home. And so I think I'm going to look for an alternate route on Wednesday because I have a feeling that parking lot is just going to be insane.
Another piece of insane Wisconsin culture is being seen overseas right now. And I have immense pity for a woman from Canada who posted on Twitter, and I think she thought she was just showing just a random oddball because it's a photo. And it says, I'm not sure what's going on in London here, but this man is walking around so casually as if there is not a giant block of cheese hat on his head. She literally had no idea because she's from Canada. She's visiting London. There's a photo of a guy in a subway station at the ticket machine buying tickets. And he's got a cheese head. He's got the wedge on his head here. And this poor woman's like, I'm not sure if he knows that he's wearing a block of cheese. Her, as they say on Twitter, her mentions blew up. And not not a lot of mean people, thankfully, not a lot of sarcastic people. A whole lot of Packer fans just putting up gifts of Aaron Rodgers with a cheesehead hat or explaining nicely to her, you know, what was going on, that the Packers were in London. I felt very bad for her because it was such a culture shock that here she thought, oh, here's a random crazy person. No, wait. The city is full of random crazy people wearing cheeseheads.
Yeah, she picked one heck of a time to be in London and then getting blown up online like that, you say. I saw the mentions. I did not add on to it. I didn't pile on, but I saw the tweet and I was kind of like, oh, this is probably going to go viral. And it went semi-viral.
And it kind of did. Yeah. My favorite, the only one that I retweeted of all the mentions, because there were so many of them, and I don't know who made this one, but it's the cover of Abbey Road. And instead of the Beatles walking through the crosswalk, it's four different Packers, you know, in full uniform, were photoshopped in walking across Abbey Road.
I think the Packers did that last season because they knew that they were going to go to London. So that was the Packers media.
Was that actually team. An actual Packers illustration?
Yes.
That makes sense because there's LaFleur leading them as well. I couldn't make out who that was before, but upon further inspection, yes. I'm getting my LaFleurs mixed up because I watched Dodgeball the other day. So I actually had to, I had to think about that. All right. Mark Jacob from Chicago joining us in a bit to talk about media coverage of this week's news headlines. After this, you're up north. The Major League Baseball playoffs begin today. Brand new wild card format. All four matchups get started today. Each of them is a best of three series, and all three games are at the same ballpark of the team with the better record. So Tampa Bay is at Cleveland at 11 o'clock this morning, ESPN. The Phillies are in St. Louis to play the Cardinals 1 o'clock on ABC. Seattle is to go all the way to Toronto. They start at 3 o'clock on ESPN, and San Diego has to go all the way to New York to play the Mets for three games. The first one starts tonight at 7 o'clock. The Badger football team plays tomorrow at Northwestern, 2:30 on the Big Ten Network, much closer to where we find Mark Jacob than where we are up here in Chippewa Falls. Mark, good morning. How are you?
I am great. Happy to be with you.
Yeah. Glad to have you back. You were doing some traveling, and so glad to have you back here on Fridays to kind of look at what the media has covered. I have to say, I was kind of pinch hitting for you yesterday. If anybody wants to hear Pat go on a meltdown worthy rant, look at the podcast for our 10 o'clock hour, our third hour yesterday, when I reacted to a New York Times story, which did what the New York Times does. It's Dems in disarray. And it was all about, you know, the Dems who are out there second guessing the Mandela Barnes campaign against Ron Johnson, when there's still over a month to go until the election. And my main thrust, Mark, was political, that every moment spent bashing a candidate that you support is a moment lost that you could have been better framing the race for voters that you could provide either persuasion or affirmation. So that was my political point. But Mark, from a media standpoint, the Dems in disarray narrative is just, it's candy. Newsrooms can't resist it.
Yeah, and it doesn't have anything to do with any issue, does it? It doesn't have anything to do with the records of the candidates. It doesn't have to do with their stands on the issues. It's style points, you know, and this is one of the big problems with political coverage in this country right now, and maybe for a long time, but it seems particularly egregious now considering the crisis we're in, is that you know, that they just don't want to talk about the issues. They don't want to talk about where people stand. They don't want to talk about records. They just want to talk about the polls, because polls are real easy. You commission a poll, write about the poll. It's about the horse race. It's all, you know, it's drama. It's, you know, and it, to them, that's conflict. Instead of what real conflict is, would be trying to pin down what Ron Johnson's position actually is on abortion, since he's, you know, been all over the map on that and everything else. And, you know, that would, that would, maybe that's boring to the media. I don't know, but it seems to me that it has a lot more to do with people's actual lives, which is right. What politics is supposed to be about.
Yeah, exactly. It was something I know I saw the headline again yesterday someplace. I can't come up with it instantly, but the it was again the sense of voters are being asked to choose between two very unpopular candidates, and again I've spoken about this before, but I will again. So what? These are the choices. So let's talk about the choices, because although some people are cynical and say they don't like them, plenty of other people do. Plenty of other people want to know their positions, because right. One of these people is going to serve. So as a newsroom, why don't you think about service rather than feeding a narrative that a cynical narrative that only hurts democracy in the end?
Right, right. And look at records. You know, I mean, the thing about the, you know, there's a lot of work to do. I mean, if you wanted to actually go back through records, I mean, Mandela Barnes is, it may be well known in Wisconsin, I don't know. But, I mean, obviously he's got a position now. But to me, he wasn't a national figure at all like Ron Johnson is. And so, you know, peek into his background. Give us a lot more about that. There's plenty of work to do, Pat. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's journalism that actually is sitting there waiting to be done, you know? And Ron Johnson, I mean, there, you can just... I did in a long tweet thread that I'll kind of retweet today, I think, because of, just to remind people. But John, if you look at some of the things that Ron Johnson has done, they are just mind-blowingly scary. His diminishing... His lies about vaccines, his lies about... you know, about what would, what would cure COVID, just really crazy stuff. People need to go through that. And people, you know, the thing about the media, the way it is today with social media and everything is it's kind of a river and things get into the river and then they float downstream and everyone forgets about them. And so that's another real important role of the news media is to put everything in one place, remind people about stuff. That's why this, you know, this thread that I'll put up, you know, on MarkJacob16 is my Twitter handle. And I'll put it up just because it puts it all in one place. It's, you know, it's a list of stuff that Ron Johnson has done, including promising that he wouldn't run for a third term. You know, there's that. And but there's just much even more egregious stuff than that just his footsie with Russians. I mean, there's just his idea of undermining elections, his three different positions he's had on his involvement with the fake elector scheme. First, you know, I didn't do anything. No, I had nothing, no involvement. Then, you know, and then that famous video with him pretending to be on the phone so he didn't have to answer reporters' questions. And then the second position he had, which was I was only involved for a second. Mm-hmm. And now the more recent one, which is I was when it was revealed that he was texting with the Trump lawyer about the whole thing, is, well, my involvement was only about an hour. Like there's, okay, so you like commit, you're involved in a plot to overthrow a legitimate election. But I was only doing that for an hour, so fine, no worries, you know, it's fine, everything's fine. I don't know what his next position is going to be on that. Maybe it's going to be, well, maybe it was a couple hours, or maybe it was a day, and then everything was fine. And so that's the job of the news media, because that's about an important subject. That's not about, well, who's leading in the horse race a month out. That's about... will democracy survive, which is kind of an important subject, I think.
It is kind of important. And I had to laugh earlier this week when Joan Esposito down at the Chicago radio station near you, WCPT, asked me to join. And she said, we're going to talk about the article you did for Up North News about how Ron Johnson says that he's passed a lot of bipartisan bills out of his Homeland Security Committee when he chaired it. But if you look at the data, more than 70% of those bipartisan bills did nothing more than name a post office. Right. And I thought, well, we're not going to fill an hour. She's booked me for an hour. We're not going to fill an hour on it. We got to everything that you just listed off and about six more. Mm. And again, the conversation being, look, if you're in any given newsroom, I understand that if you did a report just on all the things that Ron Johnson's record shows that should be looked at, you're going to appear biased. But the alternative is not to not do any story at all about Ron Johnson's record than just focus on crime, because that's what his ad is about. That you're not doing your audience any favors.
No, you're just going with what they say. And the thing about that is if a candidate is awful and the news media is reporting accurately, they're not going to appear to be fair, because they're going to appear to be pointing out that the candidate is awful, which is the reality. It's the facts on the ground. And so that's the real trick bag that a lot of people in the media are in, is that they don't want to appear to, they think, oh, I found something bad about Ron Johnson, so, oh, I got to quick find something bad about Mandela Barnes. You know, that will make me feel fair or objective and will keep everyone off my back. And that's not the job of the news media is not to keep people off your back. Actually, what I used to tell when I was an editor at the Chicago Tribune, I used to tell my reporters, you know, that if you don't make anyone mad, you're not doing a good job. I mean, mm-hmm. that good journalism automatically makes people mad. Mm-hmm. And so the one thing that you should worry most about is not getting complaints. You should worry about not getting complaints.
Yes. Then there's something, there's something you're doing it wrong. Like you said, the whole notion of awful candidates, I mean, you see it from a mile away where we're going to pivot to next. And that is the sad story that is Herschel Walker. But the thing that keeps it from truly being a sad story is that this guy might still get elected, because we're talking Georgia. And I was reading, I wish I had it in front of me, but I was reading tweets from an author, black woman, mm-hmm. who is just livid that polling indicates that the lack of, the amount of support of black voters for Herschel Walker is not the same as the amount of supporters for Stacey Abrams, who's running for governor. Her point being that there's a level of misogyny involved in this as well. But just to come back to Herschel Walker, how he gets the support that he does is a microcosm of where a big chunk of the electorate is this day and age is, we don't care what you've done as long as there's an R next to your name.
Right, right. It is this kind of herd mentality, this tribalism that's really an alarming thing in this country. And it's it's please leave the facts alone. Please don't give me any facts. Please, you know, see no evil, hear no evil. Please, you know, it's like this desperation not to hear any facts about it. And they're just running him down. Well, no, they're not just running him down. They're actually reporting facts from police reports and from video interviews that his ex-wife did and things. I mean, this is not made up stuff. This is totally factual stuff. And one point I want to make really clearly that I think has been missed is, okay, so now it's obvious that Herschel Walker was a violent, threatening kind of mentally unstable person, and they can't deny that. So the Republicans are trying to pivot to the redemption model. That, well, yeah, he was a terrible person back then and terrorized women, but now he's redeemed himself. He's found, you know, religion, and he's a good guy now. But that's blown up. I mean, the latest Herschel ad says, well, you know, I had problems with my past, but I even put it in a book. That book was in 2008, where he explained how he'd all been fixed by Christianity. But 4 years later, a girlfriend of his reported to police that he threatened to blow her head off. And that's in a police report. 4 years after he supposedly was all reformed and everything. So even the redemption will forgive him for terrorizing women years ago thing, even that argument's blown up. I mean, it's the guy is a train wreck. He's a total train wreck. And the fact that all the Republicans want to get on this train with him, even though they know it's a wreck, is just it's just alarming, and it's demeaning to everyone.
And yet I'm reading from people in Georgia who say, now you guys out there think this is all a big deal, but I got to tell you, the Georgia station, and they list one or two TV stations, they're still busy leading with crime, you know, rather than we have a train wreck of a Senate candidate, because again, TV is going to follow whatever their business model is.
Right, right. And they're going to advertise that. They're going to go. No, the whole crime thing is also, if you look at the national statistical trends, crime has been dropping in this country generally. You know, if you look at it over like decades, crime is lower significantly lower now than it was decades ago. And but the funny thing is, when they do polling, people always think crime is up.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and part of that, I blame part of that on the kind of it bleeds, it leads news that everyone sees. Yeah. There are a lot of reasons for it. And also Republicans talking about crime all the time because they don't want to talk about anything else.
That's just it. If you've got no other ideas, you look to scare them. And that's the place where it seems to happen most. Mark Jacob is with us this hour. And we will take a break here. When we come back, more about some of what's been in the news this week. You're up north.
You're listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back. This is a little off topic, but something that I'd mentioned related to the Herschel Walker race before. And I found the post from Professor Brittany Cooper. And she writes that Stacey Abrams is polling at around 60% with black men. 60%. She says that is an abysmal number and one not befitting her care and commitment to black people. Insulted by the likes of Herschel Walker, some brothers are planning to head to the polls to vote for Warnock, but not Abrams. It boggles the mind that black women's political genius would be used to elevate a black man to the Senate, but not help the sister who got him there. So I just wanted to, I was kind of rambling about that point before and wanted to bring it up. And still on the Georgia race, I know you and other people posted, you were just wildly angry that NPR put up Ralph Reed to basically vouch for Herschel Walker's character.
Well, you know, and Ralph Reed, you know, noted right-wing liar, you know, with a great track record of lying for, you know, and you can call that spin or you can call it lying. I went through the NPR interview with him, which lasted maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and it's just lie, just factual lies, just lying, and almost no pushback. And it's all the, and some people have the false conception that NPR is a liberal news outlet. They show that because of certain topics they pick that are of concern to, you know, should be of concern to anyone who cares about humanitarian values. You know, they talk about people suffering and the poor and all that, and that's great. I support them for that. But their political coverage is abysmal. I mean, it's their national political coverage is a scandal, because what they do is they just decide, well, we're going to put, you know, both sides on, you know, individually, and we're not going to push back on them, or we're just going to let them have their say, and that's called fairness. And so you take someone like Ralph Reed, and you ask him about Herschel Walker, and he starts talking about the Steele dossier, and, you know, and inflation. And you're not talking about Herschel Walker anymore, and you never push back. You never say no. This conversation, we agreed that we would discuss Herschel Walker because he's in the news. Please explain. No, there's none of that. It's all just, you know, open mic night. You know, for right wing liars. And again, you know, Pat, the thing about this is that if someone on the right, a conservative or whatever, wants to get on and wants to like argue why we shouldn't have, you know, health care for poor people, or we shouldn't, or why abortion should be banned in a rational way, there's a place for that. There really is a place for that in the national dialogue. I'm totally for that. You know, but that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about lying about things,
yes,
and getting away with it, and NPR helping them.
And so on the one hand, there's the major networks are putting up like known liars just to say, well, we're putting both sides up there. And then there's also the problem with mainstream outlets engaged in horse race framing. And that takes me to the topic of OPEC announcing a big production cut, and that's going to raise gas prices, and how convenient that is, making that decision, you know, right before the election, which will benefit the, you know, the Republicans who have been, you know, criticizing the move toward renewable fuels and things like that. And that's certainly where I would have gone with that, is the timing and what all is behind something that benefits Putin. And instead, what we get from media outlets is the optics, the horse race. Oh, this is bad news for Biden. This is bad news for Democrats. Well, ask yourself why that might be, because I think that might be the story, Mark.
Right. The story might be that the Saudis and the Russians want the Republicans to win. And why do they want the Republicans to win? Because the Republicans support dictators. That's why. And you look at the whole $2 billion that the Saudis gave to Jared Kushner. Well, why did they give him $2 billion? Just because they like him? Because he's kind of fun at parties? I don't think so. I think it's because Kushner, the Trump people, the entire Republican National Committee now, because it's all in the Trump camp, they've been colluding with the Saudis for years. And not just then. You know, Pat, there's a long history of Americans colluding with the Saudis. And I don't think it was wrong for news media to point out that Biden going to Saudi Arabia and attempting to make peace with Mohammed bin Salman was a change in position for him, or that it didn't seem to work out in this particular incident. Those are legitimate things to say. But put it in context. Put it in context. Right. And why now? And why now? And it's after gas prices have dropped for months now.
Yep.
I don't understand why people aren't more troubled by the fact that the United States Republican Party supports dictators, likes dictators, likes Erdogan, likes that Duterte when he was in charge in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Likes that guy down in Brazil who's the tropical Trump is what the Trump likes to call him. These people are dangerous.
Yeah.
These people are trying to steal people's freedom. Mm-hmm. These people murder people. You know, don't stand next to a window if you're criticizing Putin. I mean, these are murderers, and Trump even defended the murderers. So you think you remember that thing when he was asked, why do you support Putin when he's murdered people? And he said something like, do you think we're so innocent? In other words, we're all murderers. It's all okay.
Yeah. I mean, they've so normalized this tone. And part of the reason they've been successful in getting voters to see it that way is they're spoon feeding them just complete paranoia whenever possible. And you pointed out earlier this week, you put up a video clip from Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who's running for governor after lying more times than we can count from the White House podium. And you note that she could be talking about, rural broadband or healthcare or whatnot, but the clip you put up is all about paranoia. It's the feds are coming for your freedom.
Right, right. It's all
no ideas.
I will stand up to the feds, and not anything specific. The revenueers are coming. I mean, the funny thing is, I used to live in Arkansas. I did for a long time, and so I understand the state pretty well. And she's just taking advantage of every kind of everything that keeps Arkansas down. I mean, it's one of the poorest states in the union. It's just dirt poor. It's like in the top five in poverty, and they actually need help. And also has been pointed out, get more help from the federal government than they pay out. They're one of those states that way imbalance how much Arkansans pay to the federal government versus what they get back in aid. So her trying to paint the feds as this kind of scary evil force is only trying to distract from the fact that the Republican Party in Arkansas is just a giant corrupt force. It might as well be the mob. It may be the worst legislature in the country, and it's all just there's this, you can count. It's almost like clockwork how who's going to get indicted, and it's, thank God they still get indicted. There's still a prosecutors who can find corruption, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders is totally a part of that. And it's just a con game to make people scared so that they don't notice how much they're not getting from government and how government is not serving them and how they're being taken.
You understand we're saying all this about Arkansas, and based on what we've learned from Brett Favre and others lately, the folks in Mississippi are going, hold my beer.
Oh, right. It's not made up that it used to be that it's a saying in Arkansas, thank God for Mississippi. Yeah. It is. And I, as I say, I lived there, and we used to say it all the time because, 49 and 50, and Mississippi was 50. And that's a giant scandal, the one in Mississippi. I mean, that is the most privileged people around stealing money from the poorest people around. And with, the former governor knee deep in it. Brett Favre, who's, you know, Trump's golf buddy, you know, he's got plenty of money. If he wanted to give money to University of Southern Mississippi for a volleyball facility, he could write a check, and you know, and that would be fine. But instead, he'd rather steal money from poor people.
And so
the fact that these certain states remain poor is it's by intention. That's the thing. I mean, things could be so much better. That's why. And that's, you know, getting back to the, you know, supporting dictators thing. The Republicans want people to think that everyone is this way. They want to engender cynicism so that everyone signs off on the election system and thinks everything's corrupt, and so I'll just, you know, go watch my Netflix and not worry about it. And they want people to sign off. They want people to not be involved in the political system because everything's so corrupt. And everything is not corrupt. There actually are people who are trying to do a good job and who are trying to get people health care who don't have any. That's happening. The Republicans don't want you to know because they don't have any plans to do it.
And instead, what we're getting is not just the crime imagery, but I know you've noticed it, and I've certainly noticed it here in Wisconsin. It seems like, you know, it's not every other Republican ad. Let's say it's like every third Republican ad will have Nancy Pelosi's face on it, you know, along with the squad and the personification of this.
They all tend to be like, a lot of them tend to be females, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, that's, you know, the squad, they had to put AOC up there and Ilhan Omar and their only saving grace was when they got called out on it. They added Bernie Sanders, you know, in the next incarnation, but you saw where it started because again, that's, we may not be Mississippi, but the reasons why you would put those people in that ad aren't far from it.
Yeah, but and the thing about it, if you want to like go focus on Pelosi because she's speaker and, you know, powerful woman, I mean, you could really focus on Kevin McCarthy. I mean, Kevin McCarthy is an idiot. Kevin McCarthy doesn't have, I mean, you could not find an ethic. I mean, if you like did surgery and tried to find some sort of little kernel of ethics in Kevin McCarthy's body, you would never find it. He does not, you know, I in a recent tweet, I called him just a bag of trash with legs, arms, and a head sticking out of it. Because
and you know what we're going to see? What we're going to see next year is him trying to control the extreme, saying, I can control all of the extremism in my party. And he's going to get eaten by the alligator just like all the other, Paul Ryan and all the rest.
Well, and willingly. I mean, the thing about it, he'll become an alligator. You know, look at him and Stefanik. You know, Stefanik used to be considered moderate.
Which is really,
you know, she's like, she's complaining because baby formula is going to migrants. Like, we should starve children. I mean, she's pushing the replacement theory that, scary brown people are going to, you know, make us white people disappear. I mean, these are evil fascist ideas. So she was pretending to be a moderate to get elected, and then she's not. But the thing about McCarthy that I just never can forget the speech he gave after the attack on the Capitol. And, you know, he did it. Lindsey Graham did it. McConnell did it. And knows all, they were appalled. Just, oh, what a terrible thing to have. This couldn't, you know, and then McCarthy couldn't get down to Mar-a-Lago fast enough to go
kiss the ring. Yep.
I mean, they have no self-respect, so you can be sure they have no respect for the voters.
We're going to close with one more media critique, and it has nothing to do with the content of the news or the direction or the writing or anything, but to say amen to your observation this week that says simply, when news websites throw autoplay video and other trashy advertising at visitors, they shouldn't wonder why those visitors never return. Amen, Mark.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the thing. I used to, I was editor of the website at the Medill Local News Initiative at Northwestern University, which was trying to figure out how to keep local news, you know, strong and surviving in these really terrible times, in times when, you know, local news outlets are, you know, laying off people and hedge funds are buying them and hedge funds don't care about journalism. So they're just trying to cut the staff and jack up the subscription rates. And so I was working on that. So I really paid close attention to the whole, what they call, user experience, or UX, that's a short for it, user experience. And you see how bad user experience is on some, a lot of news websites where they're trying to make pennies off of these pop-up video ads that are just obnoxious, and you can't find the news. You can't find the stories you want to read. And they're hurting themselves. They're really shooting themselves in the foot. It is a crisis in local news.
They definitely have to. They're not there yet. They haven't figured it out. Mark, thanks so much. We'll talk again next week.
All right, great. See you then.
Have a great weekend. All right. We'll wrap up this hour's conversation after this. You're Up North. Hey, let's start with a reminder, wherever you are this weekend, that if you'd like to catch up on any of our programs or anything else here along the ever-growing civic media empire, which grew again this week with the addition of our new friends in Oshkosh. Good to have you here. There are so many options available. And rather than outline all of them, we're going to do a pop quiz with Mr. Luke Mathers while he's here. Luke, you missed a show, and we got different ways to listen back to them. You got one option to pick. What's the one option that you would pick to go back and look through and find and listen back to one of our shows?
I'm a Spotify guy. I really do like the Spotify app. So therefore, I can now, and all of our listeners out there in the audience, if you search the show name, you can find us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, whichever podcast you want. But you just
say
search.
Stitcher is out there, and Google, some of the others. Google Play.
Yep. So there's tons of options there.
So you would go to Spotify, and is that do you do it as a phone app, or do you do it off like your laptop?
I could do it either. It's great. They have you can web browse it, so you can go to Spotify's website. You can download a desktop browser for it, so they have a player that you can have on your laptop, your desktop computer, or the phone app is pretty much the number one that I use. It's nice because you can access your podcast, your music. It also interacts with my CarPlay in my car, so it's nice and convenient there.
That is.
The other app that also interacts with CarPlay would be the Civic Media app, which you can download and stream all of our different stations on right from one app as well. So if you want to jump back and forth between live programming, the Civic Media app is a perfect opportunity to do that.
Perfect. So there you go.
And tonight... Across Civic Media, we're going to be broadcasting the debate for the U.S. senatorial debate. And some of our markets do have live high school sports tonight. It's Friday night, Friday Night Lights going on around the state. Some of the teams that our stations cover are getting ready for playoff high school football here in Wisconsin. And so we're not going to be broadcasting the debate over those local markets. But if you miss the debate tonight because your local Civic Media station is broadcasting those high school sports, you can tune in both tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday at 1 p.m. and hear a replay of the debate between incumbent Senator Ron Johnson and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in their bids for the U.S. Senate.
Well, how convenient that pivots right to where we're going next, which is a story at UpNorthNewsWI.com that I cannot recommend highly enough from Christina Lori. And the headline is pretty much says it all. Why Wisconsin's Senate race may be the most important in the country. And so after setting that up, what this story from her really is a breakdown of where Ron Johnson and Mandela Barnes are on a host of issues. She gets to the issues that Wisconsinites have told the Marquette Law School poll are most important to them. And then she goes through them point by point about the things that Ron Johnson has said and done and what he says he'd do and what Mandela Barnes has done and said and has said that he would do. And so let's pick an example here, because there's inflation, there's crime, there's election integrity, there's public schools. Let's spin the wheel here and go to, let's go to crime. Ron Johnson has said, quote, "You have criminals and you have shooters, okay? I don't know why the left always wants to blame guns." That's what Ron Johnson has to say about crime. Here's what he's done. He has co-sponsored a bill that would prohibit the Department of Justice from tracking and cataloging people who purchase multiple guns. He has voted against a bill that would have required background checks on all gun sales. and he's received $1.2 million in campaign donations from gun-related special interest groups. What he has said he would do? Block any legislation that includes gun safety and reform, including President Biden's ghost gun legislation, and continue accepting money from gun lobby groups. Meanwhile, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes has said, when our communities don't have opportunity, gun violence and crime is what fills the void. What has he done? Implemented common sense police reform like banning chokeholds and de-escalation training, give law enforcement the resources they need like access to proper training and the ability to hire social workers to answer crisis calls that don't necessarily need an armed officer where things could escalate. What he says he would do? Invest in good paying jobs, education, and childcare to prevent crime before it starts, put violent criminals in jail, and get illegal guns off the streets through gun safety legislation. And let's take one more. We'll do election integrity. Senator Ron Johnson, what has he said? There's always been some voter fraud that the mainstream media and many others simply ignore. I'm not alleging anything because I have no proof. All I'm saying is there is enough irregularities to raise concerns.
That sounds like an allegation.
We should just, I mean, you can just hit the brake pedal right there, okay? And say that's just utterly disqualifying and frankly downright un-American to trash the integrity of safe and secure elections just because you didn't like the results. Anyway.
I mean,
what
he's saying publicly now, but there's still the video out there that is showing Senator Johnson after the election breaking down the math of where Republican voters did not vote for Trump at the top of the ticket, but down ballot for state assembly and state senate did vote for Republicans. So Senator Johnson knows that the reason Trump lost is because Republican voters didn't vote for Trump. And now he's going to say things like that where, oh, there's always been these malfeasance. And I'm not alleging anything, but here is an allegation. And
that's what he does best. That is absolutely, that is the page one in his playbook, is to not give you enough actual proof, but to say, you know, people are saying, and there are questions about. And so, again, what will he continue to do in the area of election integrity? He'll continue to push conspiracy theories. He will downplay the storming of the Capitol. He will agree with false claims of fraud. And what would he do in the future? Bottom line is he would support Donald Trump if he runs for president in 2024, which probably includes any shenanigans, to put it mildly, that would go along with it. Meanwhile, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes has said, it's time to deliver a clear message that America won't allow those who would undermine our democracy to keep leading it. We must hold leaders accountable. What's he done? He's advocated for fair maps. What would he do? End partisan gerrymandering, pass a new Voting Rights Act, enhance election security to stop foreign interference, end the Senate filibuster, and strengthen ethics rules for elected officials. Now, in the other two areas, we don't have time to get into all of them, but I just want to say that under public schools, the Ron Johnson quote is, we've stopped teaching values. Now we're teaching wokeness and indoctrinating our children with things like CRT and telling children they're not equal to others. Again, not a serious quote and somebody who will not take seriously the duties of their office. So again, I would strongly urge you to read Why Wisconsin's Senate Race May Be the Most Important in the Country from Christina Lori, and you'll catch that at upnorthnewswi.com. From Courier Newsroom, we've got Carolyn Fiddler and Cam Stevenson from Arizona's Copper Courier next. You're up north.